oppression and depression. He carries out the justice. He meet the justice on that. You know, when we're being oppressed and depressed, God will meet out justice for us. He forgives us of all of our sins. He gives us of his knowledge. Listen, that I'm just continuing to read, and this is just in 103 Psalms. He gives us mercy and grace. God is patient with us, and he is slow to anger. He removes our sins far, far away. He pities us as a father pities his children. God's mercy is eternal. It means it never ends. God gives us his righteousness. He gives his righteousness to his people who keeps his covenant and those that are obedient to him. See, you have to be obedient and you have to keep his covenant. His covenant is everything that he has told us to do in the word of God. That's his covenant. We have to keep that and we have to be obedient. I want to remind you not to forget all that God has given us. We have spiritual weapons that can refresh and renew us. They can reshape our lives. We can claim and gain spiritual strength and gain power over the devil. The word of God lets us know we have to be transformed and changed. We have to be transformed and changed. I can't repeat that enough. We have to be transformed and we have to be changed. And that's what this lesson does. It's going to show us how to be transformed and how to be changed. It is to help us to take a different look and a different outlook and a new attitude, you know, on how we view spiritual actions and spiritual weapons. We know that joy is a spirit, it's a fruit of the spirit, and it gives us strength. Laughter does us good like a medicine. Praise to God, it stops the enemy. Staying filled with the Holy Ghost, it gives us power to demonstrate the word. A merry heart does us good like a medicine. Kind words are like honeycombs. It's health to our bones. When we attend or take care of the word of God, we receive health to all of our body. And saints of God, it costs us nothing. Who wouldn't serve God and receive all the benefits that he has given us? Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. We go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. St. John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. 1 John, John 1, John 2, John 3, 1 John. Amen. Whenever I have to press like this, it is because the enemy does not want what God has for you to be delivered. And I'm travailing. I'm going to get this baby out this day. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, listen, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him. He who loveth God love his brother also. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of God. Some people still trying to find it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. I want you to get it. I want you to get it. Listen, whenever you talk about anything that God wants you to talk about, the enemy will try to prevent you from getting the understanding. Listen to this, because as John writes this word, it's interesting because there are things that he has shared, not only in the text, but in the context, starting in chapter 2, the second chapter, verse 5, verse 10, and verse 15, he mentions love. But in chapter 3, he starts off in verse 1 talking about what manner of love is this that the Father had bestowed upon us. And then he goes on in verse 11, in verse 14, in verse 15, verse 16, verse 17, 18, and verse 23. In all of these scriptures, he's talking about love. All before he even gets to the fourth chapter. And yet the fourth chapter of the 24 verses, 12 of them include the word love or some variation of love. What is John trying to do? He's trying to help the believers who are called by the name of the Lord to understand this operation of love necessary to grow and develop and become what God wants you to become. If you look through the word, if you go back in the Old Testament from the beginning in Exodus 20, when God gives the Ten Commandments, God says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor. But as you progress into the New Testament times where Jesus began to talk, though he uses neighbor, he transitions and starts to say things like one another. And the only way that men will know that you are my disciples is if you have love one to another. He makes clear that he has moved from a universal language neighbor, meaning anyone, anywhere whom you have the opportunity to come in contact with and to demonstrate the love of God. He says he's a neighbor. You need to love him. But Jesus speaks in a more intimate setting, and he begins to form a group of people who are called the people of the way. And because they are people of the way, he expects them to be different from the other people, to demonstrate his love differently than other folk demonstrate the love. And so he starts talking about, you know, a different way of loving. And then he says, this commandment leave I you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And he speaks about one another, joining them to the Christian band. But when John picks up this issue of love, he mostly speaks about love in the context of family, brothers, brethren, family. So he's now talking about something that is clearly defined and something that is clearly a part of what God himself has designed as his family and members of his family, and they are held to a higher standard. And so when he calls them, he calls them beloved. When he calls them brethren. He talks family talk to them. Why? Because he wants them to understand when he speaks to them, he's speaking to a group of called out believers. He's not talking to the world at this point. He's not talking to others at this point. He's talking to the family of God. And my brothers and sisters, what is so important that we get and understand is that God is watching us. He's watching our actions. He's watching our words. He's watching what we're watching. He's watching the way that we pretend to be one way with one group and another way with another group. He's watching how we act in his house and then how we act in our house and then how we act in the neighbor's house. He's watching how we walk and work in our jobs and in our relationships and all of those things. We represent God. And especially when you're dealing with brothers and sisters of the faith. And so we've got to handle the people of God, brothers and sisters, especially with the love of God, so that God can be pleased with our lifestyles. Let's go back through the text again and see what it says. If a man said, I love God, and hateth his brother, whether it's in deed or in word. Listen, the record is he is a liar. Not he is a lie, but rather he is a liar. Because he has told more than one lie. But the fact that it's in the present tense is a liar suggests that he's living a lie. And listen to this. When you look at this part of the verse, it talks about a false confession. Now, John is speaking here, and John is old and he's wise, and God has given him a special anointing, and he is like the patriarch of the church. He's there giving instructions, and he's there mentoring them, and he's there showing them the love of God. And in all of this, he's making it clear, John don't bite his words. He's very clear. He's very strong. He's very straightforward with the truth, because he knows how important and how serious it is for them to get this message. And so he says, it's false confession. Because if a man say, well, when he opens up his mouth, he's confessing. He's speaking. This is by his own volition, by his own will. Nobody forced that on him. Nobody made him do that. But then when he opens up his mouth, listen at this, he says, I love God. Ooh, you know, he just, oh, I love God. And man, everybody get excited. You love God? Yeah, I love God. I love God. Well, here's the acid test. How do you love your brother? Because the word says, and hateth a continual operation of hate going on. You don't just hate him a little bit. It's steady going. You hate for one reason, and then if that ain't enough, you look for another reason. And if that ain't enough, you just keep reason after reason. Just make me sick. I can't stand. Everything this is, I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like. Just one reason after another, compounding on the other. He hateth his brother. This is another believer. Listen to me, people of God. How are you going to talk about your brother or sister to the world and expect that the world's going to respect you or want to be a part of the family you're a part of? Because if you talk about your brother like that, if you talk about your mother like that, if you talk about your father like that, if you talk about your sister like that, what makes you think, I don't think you're going to talk worse about me? He hateth his brother. The Bible says he is a liar. If he's a liar, then that means he's the son of the father of lies. And he's round here with false confessions. You see, what God does is he matches the walk with the talk. The walk with the talk. I like the way President Jerry Young put it. He matches the audio with the video. Yeah, yeah. In other words, if the two don't harmonize, something is wrong. And so John says, he is a liar. Now, the old folk, you say, and the truth ain't in him. Yeah. And since the father said he's a sure enough liar, but listen at this: for he that loveth not his brother. Now, the very word suggests we're family, we're connected. We're interrelated, that we ought to share one another's burden. As a matter of fact, Galatians 6:1 says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, ye restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. In other words, when we get to the point where we start feeling self-righteous and holier than thou, like we have made it above where we used to be, and thank God for deliverance. Thank God he has picked us up and turned us around and lifted us to, and things we used to do we don't do no more. Thank God for all of that. But it doesn't give us a right to judge anybody, because we still have work to be done on us. There is still some good in the worst of us, and there's still some bad in the best of us. If a man say he has no sin, he's lying. Go back to the first chapter of 1 John And you'll see that. If you say you have no sin, you are lying. You make God out of a lie. Because he has made clear that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So what gives you the right to hate on your brother? And so, my brothers and sisters, listen at this. False confession. I love God, but I hate my brother. That's a lie. You do not love God because it means you're not made of the stuff God is made of. Because the love of God, listen, which is shed abroad in your heart, it gives you a whole nother level of operation. It is not a judging, but a compassionate helping of those who have missed the mark in the Lord and who have stumbled and failed. And your job is to help pick them up and restore them. Restore them. If you talk about your brother, you need to stop telling the lie that you love God. If you talk about your brother instead of talking to your brother, your sister, I knew this wasn't going to be no shouting sermon because until these demons trembling and running around here now, they don't want to hear this. Because, listen, it's much easier to talk about than to talk to. It's much easier to change your address than it is your attitude. Some of y'all catch that on your way home. And so a whole lot of us don't recognize that the first part of this word deals with a false confession. But then the second part of it deals with a faulty conception. Listen to this, because it says, he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen. How can he love God whom he hath not seen? Here it is. That you see, what folk don't understand is a faulty concept always produces a false confession. Because if your concept is all wrong, if you think that you can love God and not love your brother, you can hate your brother and tell God you love him, God is like, no, wait a minute. You don't even know me. You can't see me. You see your brother every day. And you're going to tell me the brother that you see that you got eyes to lay on and hands to touch, you hate him, but you love me and you can't. Matter of fact, John just got through telling them, no man has seen God at any time. But you love me. Love me after you know me. Love me after you know my word and the standard that I've raised for you. Love me after you know what I expect of you. Love me after you deal with all of the issues you've got underneath your skin. Love me when I call you to be what you're supposed to be and you're still not that yet. Love me when I look at somebody else who you don't think is worthy and lift them up higher than you. And see, that's another thing. And then all of that brings on judgment. It brings on bitterness, brings on hatred, because you think you're better than them. God shows you he's in control. And he's the one who sets up and knocks down. And promotion comes from him. And that's why you ought to make sure your walk and your talk please God. Don't worry about man, because I got news for you. Man will smile in your face today, and before it's all over, he'll be trying to take your place. Yeah. You know what he is. And so the reality is, that your desire should be to please God. He had a faulty concept. His conception was all wrong. He can't love God whom he's never seen and hate his brother whom he has seen. And then you move on, verse 21, to the final commandment. It's a fixed commandment. I told you God's got this thing fixed. And I like the way John puts this. He says, and this commandment have we from him. And this commandment have we from him, from God. This ain't something we made up. This is not something we got together and decide we would place upon ourselves. This commandment comes from him. And if they come from him, he's the one who's going to judge this commandment. And because he has fixed this commandment, it started in Exodus in the Old Testament, and it continues throughout the Word of God till you get here to the book of John. And it has not changed. Love is the important part of your existence as a believer, especially as it relates to the household of faith, brothers and sisters of the faith. If you can't help a brother, what makes you think you're going to help another? Listen to this. He says that this is a fixed commandment. And this commandment have we from him. We got it direct from him. Ain't no committee got together and put this together. This is from God himself. Yeah. That he who loveth God, who continues to love God, to grow in the love of God. Why is that so important? Because God is love. God himself is love. Every part and fiber of God is love. It's love that made God give his son so that his son might have the opportunity to give his life. It all emanated from love. We're not worthy, but that doesn't matter to God, because love is the very essence of why God did what he did and does what he does. And that's what you're going to understand. Listen, a lot of times people won't deserve your goodness and your kindness and all of those wonderful things you do. It ain't because they deserve it. It's because the love in you makes you do the things you do. The love in you, because you are of God and God is a part of you, then that love that you have, that is the agape love, makes you look beyond their faults and meet their needs, make you forgive them when they didn't even ask for forgiveness, make you do all of the wonderful things you do because of love. And he says this, and I'm closing. He says, it's fixed and it's final. You can't change it. He who loveth God, love his brother also. Period. That's it. You can't twist it, turn it. You can't refix it. It's already fixed. It's already final. I got news for you. Let me help make it simple for you. If you plan on going to heaven, learn how to love your brother. Heaven is only going to have people who love God and their brother. If you can't love your brother here, then you will not have an opportunity to get up there lying before the Lord.